So yes, I am Jennifer, and I've had the opportunity to meet many of you, either here on other occasions or some in the community, but there are some of you I haven't had a chance to meet yet. And I would love to have the opportunity after the gathering this morning. Now there's going to be watermelon and at least water to drink and muffins, but I'm sure other things. So let's have a chance to talk together after the service today. I thank you very much for the opportunity to be here with you. What a great invitation. If I knew how to do it and could transfer photographs from my phone to the picture up there, you'd be able to see pictures of my kids who were at camp this week. Serena was also there, and many other children at Catepwa Lake Camp this past week. They were almost full to bursting. And my children have never been so dirty or so happy. They had a great time. I'm very grateful for the gift that God gives us in summer camps and for all of the ways that summer camps help our young people, small ones, but also all the way through as they develop the ability to listen to God themselves, to take what is the faith of their parents and learn it in new ways and make it the faith of their own hearts, the relationship that they have with God. So this morning we had to create a brand new YouTube playlist. I don't know if you do this at your house, but of all those new songs from chapel at camp so that we could sing together at home. And as usual, my family, the rest of them, decided to go to church at First Baptist this morning. I'll keep inviting them, and maybe one of these times when I come to visit, they'll come with me so you can see them in person. As I read the texts for this morning to my family, I wondered what they would think about them. And sometimes we do that. We read out loud and reflect together. And so I wondered, what do you hear as we read these? Adoniram, who's 11, said, "Well, I think you should talk about shepherds, Mummy." And Angeline, who's 9, said, "And probably you should talk about sheep." So that is kind of the recurring theme in today's texts, and we've heard them through the course of the morning. Jeremiah and Psalm 23, and now I'm going to read for you from Mark chapter 6. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. And then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to rest, Jesus said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many saw them leaving and recognized them and ran on foot from all of the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. When they had crossed over, they had landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. And as soon as they got out of the boat, the people recognized Jesus and they ran throughout that whole region and they carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard Jesus was. And wherever he went, into villages or towns or the countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces and they begged Jesus to let them touch even the cloak, edge of his cloak, and all who he touched were healed. For us today, this is the word of the Lord, and we say, thanks be to God. Within the cultures of the time that these texts were written, especially the texts from our First Testament, the Hebrew Bible, it would have been very common, very normal, to write about the leaders in the culture as shepherds. We see it in a few different places. When we take our texts and maybe even add in the story of the Good Shepherd, we can look at a comparison and a contrast. Our God is like a good shepherd, one who provides safe places to rest, one who provides nourishing food and calm water to drink from. Within the culture that leaders might have been written as shepherds, those leaders, most of them, lived in very separate places from the people who they were the leaders of. If you think of the pyramids in Egypt, those weren't, you know, sort of built at the center of the town. They were in a separate location. You think of castles, right? It's a separate place where the leader is somewhere else. But our God, our good shepherd, lives among us, lives with us. It's a beautiful antidote, this picture of God who is right with us, a beautiful antidote for the image of God where we think that God is far away. God is just in heaven, far away, doesn't care about the everyday details of our lives. We heard the stories of how even in Rwanda, everywhere in our world, God is involved in the intimate everyday details of our lives. I don't know those first lines from Psalm 23, God, my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. I've memorized it in several versions. Which one do I want right now? The Lord is my shepherd. I don't need a thing. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing is what it says in the Message. Whatever else the circumstances of our lives might be, we can turn to a God who is our shepherd. God, our shepherd, provides everything we need. Now, as I was growing up, I memorized Psalm 23 in the same version, sort of, that we just read from, out of the red hymnals. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't know how that sits with you or what that means inside you, but I am grateful that our gracious God has taught me that this verse wasn't written as a weapon to tell me, Jennifer, you shouldn't have wants or needs, because if you just listen, I shall not want, can sound like that. But that's not, I think, what God offers us. God does want to provide for our wants and our needs, that God will, through a variety of everyday, normal, mundane experiences and miracles, provide for our needs. My needs and your needs. The economy of God is not one of scarcity, but an economy of love and generosity. A sheep needs food. A sheep needs calm water. A sheep needs direction. A sheep needs safe places to rest. A sheep needs to feast, even while glaring maybe from a few feet away, there's an enemy, a wolf, a coyote. The shepherd keeps the sheep safe, and our good shepherd provides for us too. The thread of God's love and provision weaves from the Psalms into Jeremiah. Those verses, I will place shepherds over my people who will take care of them, and they will not be afraid or terrified anymore, and none will be missing. It seems to me that it's very important to God, very important to God, because it shows up over and over again. Important to God that we see God as intimately involved in the normal stuff of our lives. God doesn't want us to be ruled by those things that would scatter us or drive us away. Rather, God wants to gather us up, to give us safe places to live, to allow us to prosper. God wants to place us in relationships with people in community, with leaders, who will take care of us, who will help us to choose faith in our loving God instead of fear. So if the first place, as I read these passages, that my attention goes to is the Good Shepherd, then the second place my attention goes to is the sheep. Perhaps you've heard that song, "I just want to be a sheep." Yeah? Maybe. Some. I won't sing it all for you. The Bible does paint a picture of us as sheep, and that image is a good thing. We are lovingly tended sheep, obedient to our shepherd, cared for, gathered up. Now, perhaps within our culture, you have heard someone tease someone else saying, "Oh, you're just such a sheep. You just do whatever you're told. You never think for yourself." Because we have that cultural image that sort of fights against the culture of obedience that God calls us to. When we have God as our leader and we are in a community, it's okay to live with obedience. In fact, it's actually tremendously freeing. There's no need to strive as the sheep of the Good Shepherd. We just need to listen to the shepherd's call, to follow the under-shepherd, to be in dialogue with other people of faith. And where two or three are gathered with the Spirit, that's how the Spirit speaks to us. There's nothing to be ashamed of if we are sheep of the Good Shepherd. Now, Jesus was steeped in the Hebrew Scriptures. And on a day full of many people, many things, much activity and busyness, his response to the crowd was one of leadership, of compassion, of kindness. In Mark today, we heard that when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. And as those people were coming and going, and Jesus and his followers didn't even have a chance to have something to eat, he turned to his followers and he said, Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and let's rest a while. Such a beautiful invitation. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, invites each of us to come to the green pastures of Psalm 23, the calm waters, the feast on the heights in plain view of our enemies, to rest on the boat ride toward a solitary place, and then arriving at what we thought was a solitary place, look with love and compassion on those who are there. When we can see ourselves as well provided for sheep, we can in turn interact with those around us with freedom and joy and peace and love. So maybe, depending on what your life situation is like, maybe the equivalent of a rest a while boat ride, the little bits in between, is to take a break in the midst of a meeting with someone else and ask to be excused. "Pardon me, I just need to go to the washroom." No one will say no to that. Right? But if you're in the midst of an intense interaction with someone or a meeting and you just need a rest a while break with the Spirit, maybe you take 5 minutes and lock the door. At least as a mom of young kids, I sure did that a lot. To take just a break, just a few minutes to breathe, to find that place of calm, to hear the Spirit say, "Oh, I love you so much. Thanks for coming to this quiet rest a while space." Or maybe your opportunity to rest a while is to just set aside time every day for conversation with a spiritual companion, maybe by text, maybe by phone, maybe over the fence in the yard, maybe to invite someone in for a coffee or to go out to Tim Hortons for, well, it would be coffee, not tea. Oh, maybe tea. And maybe in that process of spiritual conversation to read a psalm or to talk together about how you see God working in your life. Or maybe your boat ride of Rest a While is a real honest-to-goodness holiday where you can soak up the beauty of the natural world and settle into a different rhythm and practice trusting God to provide for you. For me, Rest a While is often taking time to write out scripture with my name in it, to apply the words of God who is as near as breath to the reality of my everyday life. This summer, for me, Rest a While is to take a holiday with my family, trusting that God will provide for our needs along the way. Filled up each and every day with God's provision, we can gather together and join with the people of Ephesians and be built together into a dwelling in which God lives by the Spirit. First, we can be well cared for sheep who come aside and rest a while, and then we can become a safe dwelling place for ourselves, our families, our neighbors, and the whole world around us.